Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. And today, my very special guest is Jay Steiger. He is a candidate running for the Grossmont Union High School Board in Trustee Area 2. He's a middle school teacher who graduated from Monta Vista High School right in the Grossmont District. He's a parent of two children who attended schools in the district. He's been an officer on local and county PTA organizations, president of the Murdoch Elementary PTA. He was the La Mesa Spring Valley School District and Grossmont Union District School District Advisory Council Chair, and he chaired the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee, very important positions. He also teaches currently at Meadowbrook Middle School. He's been an active community volunteer in various organizations, as well as coaching youth soccer. And he says he's running because he's concerned about extremists who've targeted school boards in the 2024 election. And he wants to prioritize students' well-being and education. So, Jay, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam. Thank you very much for having me. And hello, San Diego.
Yeah. So I understand this is going to be an open seat because Elvis Salinas has decided not to run again. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I have met with Elva. We had a great discussion a few weeks back, and she confirmed what several others had told me, that no, she is not seeking the seat in 2024.
Okay. For those who are not familiar with the districts, can you tell us what communities are included in Trustee Area 2?
Absolutely. So if you kind of visualize around Hamishaw, about the point where if you went east, you'd go to Valhalla High School. That's the eastern edge of the Area 2. And then running westward, you're going through both the Rancho San Diego area, also near Fuerte Elementary, so the Fuerte neighborhoods, over to Mount Helix, Cal City Oro, and then into La Mesa. And it does include La Mesa as well. It doesn't go south of the 94, and it doesn't go east up into like Jamul or down to El Cajon or anything like that.
Yeah. So as someone who's gone through the district as a student and also brings a parent's perspective, since your kids went to schools in this district and you've been on the bond oversight board, all these different things, Jay, what is your perspective of how the district has changed in recent years for better or for worse?
So there are a lot of positives in the Grossmont district. You know, I'm thrilled that my kids were able to go there. A little side note, they both graduated from Grossmont High School, which of course is the oldest school in the district. It is also the flagship of the Grossmont High School.
It is. My kids went there too, I should say.
It is. And my mom and dad went there. So it's kind of cool, little legacy. As you mentioned, I went to Monta Vista High School, as did my siblings. And there's a lot of positives, and I'll kind of touch, I'll start with the bond committee. I was honored to serve on the bond committee and serve as the chair of the bond committee. It was wonderful progress being done. And of course, you can see it all across the district. Every single school has new facilities. Some amazing buildings went up, including, of course, the theater at Grossmont High School, which is just an amazing structure. That's a huge positive. And they serve the kids because they're modern classrooms, facilities. And that's a giant step forward because the district was getting worn. It was old in many cases, and this is a big positive. The district has a strong reputation of being able to run good budgets, good oversight, transparency. They get high rankings for being careful with their money. And they also have high rankings for quality staff, teachers in particular, and running great programs. And they have some great academic programs. There are AP courses all over the district, good A to G satisfaction, and sending many kids off to both our community colleges and four-year institutions. And of course, excuse me, they also have highly regarded career tech programs as well, auto shop, health programs, engineering programs that are for students that either are interested in blending that into college or are just not interested in heading off to a college program at this time, but very much getting ready for a work program as well. So all of those are really strong positives for the district. great group of kids. I've met many, known many over the years that attend our school, wonderful youth coming through, but there's some poor leadership decisions. And, you know, that is a concern. It is not the first time that's happened either. One of the things I say is that this district, not all that long ago, had an entirely dysfunctional board. They were getting in the news for all the wrong reasons. It was kind of embarrassing.
I remember we covered some of those embarrassing stories.
And they voted, you know, sadly enough and embarrassingly enough, they voted to endorse Proposition 8, which, besides the fact that those of us who believe in inclusion and equality found that to be a reprehensible decision, I have conservative friends that served on, for example, the La Mesa Spring Valley District mm-hmm. Board that said, you know, that was ridiculous. That has nothing to do with classroom education. They really should have just stayed out of that. And, you know, they can vote the way they want. But that wasn't a decision the district itself should have made as a governing agency. And so, unfortunately, we're kind of seeing some of that happening now again. And it needs to stop. We need to support our kids, support our staff, make the right decisions, be on the right side of inclusion, and make sure that we're not getting sidetracked by culture war arguments and political arguments so that we can properly serve our kids. And that serves the better interests of our community. I've said it before, stand by it, that strong schools make strong communities. And we need to represent that.
Yeah. You know, on that same note, depression and suicide among teenagers is a very disturbing trend. It's on the rise. You have a degree in psychology, and you've been outspoken against the district's, the board majority's recent decision to get rid of their longtime mental health services provider, San Diego Youth Services, a move that critics said targets vulnerable LGBTQ students. Can you please elaborate on your concerns about this and what steps you would hope to take, you know, if elected, if you had, you know, I suppose, like-minded colleagues on the board to do so?
Yeah, I disagree. It's very perplexing to me. And as I've called out for this, and others have echoed this as well, is mm-hmm. the reasons have never been fully explained, and they're very questionable.
It seemed like the company was just trying to comply with state law. So I would think any other company would have to do the same thing. So it is a little bit baffling.
It is. It's absolutely perplexing. And really, I think the board majority owes the community a proper explanation of this. And if they, you know, I think it's a mistake, and I think they should reverse it. But if upon reflection, you know, they say, you know what, we shouldn't have done this, then yeah, fix it, you know, reverse it, make the right choice. People have commented on that. And so, yes, I just want to comment as an educator myself, as a teacher, it's very personal to me. We work with young people, and this is a weird time of life. I mean, I think we all can agree that being a human in the modern era is kind of stressful just on the natural. There's been a lot of stuff that's happened, and we're all kind of processing this layer of stress that we deal with. But for being a kid, that is doubly so. It's just it's tough.
Yes, and in this era of social media, when there's online bullying and there's so many more pressures on them that you and I didn't have growing up. So,
100%. It's been shown that kids that are on social media to too high of a degree are much more at risk for developing depression and feelings of low self-worth. And so to have a program in place, it's critical. And I mean, I've seen it in my own classroom and dealt with it in my own classroom. And the importance of giving those kids that supportive structure and those programs that have been shown to work is absolutely essential. And so again, it's baffling that the board would make such an odd decision. And for reasons that appear to be tied to concerns from an outside person from a neighboring district about the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. And that community is at highest risk for mental health issues and suicide. And so there is double the need. But to flip back, the program serves everybody, all students. So it's supporting every student and not just a subgroup, but that subgroup in particular absolutely needs that extra support because all those kids' lives are precious and we have to be there for them.
Yeah. I mean, around the country, we're seeing efforts by extremists to go after more than the LGBTQ community. You know, we're seeing like getting rid of textbooks that teach about climate change and trying to whitewash history so you don't hear anything, you know. I mean, the most extreme, I think, is Florida, where they're saying that slavery was good for Black people, and which is insane. You've talked about wanting to teach based on facts and critical thinking. Can you elaborate on why you think teaching students today critical thinking is so important?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these are the future of our country. I know that's a kind of a overstated, but it's true. These young people are the future of the country. And we want thinkers out there. We don't want robots out there. And people can say, oh, you're pushing, you know, a political agenda. And I would say back, you know, the true educators, we expose kids to information. We don't tell them, oh, you should vote this way.
Right.
We expose them to information and we foster discussions. Just as a quick side note, I'm teaching Rome in my class right now. They're learning about the positives and the negatives. They're learning about how the Roman Empire developed commerce and trade and cultural connections, mm-hmm. but also disadvantaged groups and harmed groups in the process. And so they reflect and discuss on that. And we absolutely must do that with modern history as well. America has done amazing things. We've also made terrible and tragic mistakes. We need to be aware of that and just be honest about it and talk about it. And
not only with slavery, with the treatment of Native Americans. And, you know, we can go on down the list. Are we seeing in the Grossmont district, you know, any efforts like that to whitewash history in our textbooks or ban books in school libraries that you're aware of? Is it a hypothetical, or is this something that is actually happening or being supported by any of those current board members?
So I can say I haven't seen personally specifics of direct intention to, you know, say outright, oh, you know, we can't do this. Mm-hmm. There are rumors, but one thing I can speak to, and this was talked about at the meeting on Tuesday night by more than one person, is there are books that have been, that are highly regarded and have been approved in other schools in California and around the country, mm-hmm. and are sitting on a waiting list for approval for final distribution into the district. And there wasn't a large number that were cited, but they were mentioned during this meeting. And the question was raised, why are they still sitting there? This is not something that was just approved like a couple of months ago where it might be taking time to work through the pipeline. Some of these books have been sitting around for years.
Can you give us an example or two of something?
I'll see if I can grab my paperwork, which is
it's not a big deal.
That's right in my hands, but
just in general terms,
we can get that to you. But in particular, these two books that were referenced were ones that focused on inclusion for the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. And I believe there was one that was specific to the BIPOC community as well.
But
in particular,
Black, Indigenous, and people of color community, which you would not think would even be controversial. But
and that's the other thing. It wasn't like somebody tried to bring something in and say, oh, yeah, you should take this because I like it. These were highly regarded books.
They've been screened
and used in other districts. And I mean, I like to joke, but it's truth. My kids in my classroom read banned books. They're not banned in the Poway district, mm-hmm. but these are books that have flown up on radar in one reason or another in other districts for reasons that are beyond
because I've
read all of them.
You know, stuff you and I read that we thought nothing of as kids. Yeah. Charlotte's Web. I couldn't believe that was on a banned book list. Huck Finn. I mean, it's crazy. I want to talk about academics a bit. Mm-hmm. The pandemic disrupted education for students. And I know in many places, students are still struggling to catch up to that. What more can be done to assure that students catch up and have the best shot at being prepared for higher education, whether that's a community college or a four-year college or university, Jay?
Absolutely. It's hugely important. COVID learning loss is real. Media reports, although sometimes there's a little bit of hyperbole, but the base information is absolutely correct. We are seeing the effect of learning loss. I taught during COVID. I understand Zoom was tough, and coming out of it was weird as well. We're processing that. So taking the academics specifically and kind of putting the mental health not away because they're co-joined, but just putting it on the sideline for a second. there are proven strategies to help students recover learning loss. I'm 100% in support of those. Things like small group work and tutoring, dedicated time, and focusing on, you know, core skills that are needed to advance the student. You're kind of prioritizing where they need to go to catch themselves up. These are proven strategies and absolutely should be used to bring the students' learning up. They might cost some money, but they're very cost effective in the long term. And I would say as a board member, that is money absolutely well spent, because you're investing in those kids moving forward into life and being productive and part of society. There are some other things. I might happen to teach language arts in a co-taught format. And I know Grossmont has worked with co-taught as well. And I would say lean more into that as well. And that is where you actually have two credentialed teachers in the classroom. And it is a fantastic way to maximize the learning with the kids. It allows you a lot more flexibility for interventions, for dividing your classroom so you can do more focused work, for, you know, identifying where your groupings could possibly be so that you can help the kids lift each other up. Those are proven strategies and absolutely should be embraced and employed, because I tell my kids, I used to teach AVID, and AVID stands by any student can go to college. Absolutely. And I believe that any student can go to college. It is not a matter of, oh, you, but not you. It's a matter of will and support. And I also, of course, recognize that not every kid is ready or wanting to go to college personally right after high school. I respect that. There are lots of other pathways like the CTE that I talked to that are available for them and should be supported for them. But any kid can succeed academically, and we absolutely must never let them stay behind continually. You know, we need to get in there and intervene and lift them up.
That's a great attitude. How would you, you've mentioned you want to foster stronger ties between the Grossmont district and the K-8 feeder districts on your website, Jay. Do you have specific ideas for how to do that?
Absolutely. We're seeing some of it, and I just think the territory is open for more of it. It is being embraced in other districts around the community and around the state. And, you know, just full disclosure, my father was a community college professor. Before that, he was a teacher in the middle school and high school realm. And so I have a lot of very
strong, from an education background. Then.
Yes. Well, my mom was a teacher as well. And then she became a counselor, and then she became an administrator in community college and worked in career tech. So there's a lot of background that I come from on that. Very supportive. I do understand as an academic teacher that there are sometimes some concerns about, well, wait a second. If you start doing replacement of high school academic courses with community college courses, that imperils staffing at the high school level. And I'm 100% protective of my colleagues and peers, no matter what district they teach in. You know, you should be supported as an academic teacher in your district. But there's a lot of opportunities, and I'll just give a couple here. Career tech is a big one. Obviously, there's some great high school programs out there, and we support those and enhance those. But the reality is they're not going to be able to hit every single student interest for potential career tech. And that is an absolute low-hanging fruit for dual enrollment, that the community colleges can work with the high schools to identify where are the gaps and set those courses up so that students can do that. Then the other is foreign language. There are so many wonderful languages out there. I mean, California is like this amazing multicultural place. We're one of the most diverse places, not just in the country, in the world. And we can lean into that as well, because again, not every language is going to be able to be taught at the high school level. And so there's opportunity, just to give a quick real world example in Grossmont District. Granite Hills recently ended their French language program. Understandable. But Grossmont and community and excuse me, Grossmont Cuyamaca still have French language programs. There's the opportunity right there for students who want to do French as their foreign language.
Maybe we should be teaching, you know, Arabic or some of the other languages from the large refugee groups that are coming here. We have more Iraq War refugees in San Diego County, in East County, El Cajon mostly, than in any county in America.
100%. Arabic, Chaldean, Arabic, Farsi, Pashto, there are
some
lots
of the African
of
languages. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And Spanish, of course.
Oh, yes. Well, I think the Spanish is that's going to
we already have that one.
But, you know, there are opportunities for advanced levels up at the community college that if students could continue on past what maybe the high school could offer them.
There you go. Jay, you served on the bond oversight committee, as we mentioned, a real taxpayer watchdog opportunity there. So you have some fiscal experience. You've also mentioned you're supporting a future school bond measure. Can you tell the voters why you think that's important?
Oh, absolutely. So I'm personally grateful to the voters of East County because over and over, they were willing to go to the ballot box and put all party lines aside and support school bonds to support our kids and our teachers. And this happened multiple times in Grossmont. Grossmont delayed a while. They didn't do bonds in the 70s and the 80s. And so there was a real need when the first bond came down. And they figured out that they needed to do follow-ons. And I'm grateful for the community for supporting those. But just like we've discovered with our bridges and our roads and our dams and, you know, our harbors and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And those are, you know, people that live in a house. Yeah, your house wears out over time. It's the nature of existence.
Exactly.
Things wear out. And so there is an ongoing need. It's called deferred maintenance. And you fix what you can, you prioritize it, but certain things don't get fixed. And the longer you go, the more worn out they are and the harder it is or the more expensive. So there is going to be a need both to construct some continuing new facilities for the district to keep us, you know, top notch and competitive, but also to make sure we're keeping tabs on all our existing. And this was in our bond committee. Everybody agreed. There might have been a little difference as to when, but this was an agreement. And this was also something that our partners from the agencies that the district works with for the construction would also note as well that, yeah, this is going to have to be something done. So I'm certainly in support of it. You know, it's a bond decision to it's a board decision to not take lightly. You kind of, you spec it out, you figure out, well, what's needed. You know, you're never going to get everything. So what's a fair amount to ask our community to come to? And then you present it to the community in the future. But I'm 100% behind that. You know, let's keep it rolling. Let's continue to support great facilities to support our kids, our staff, and our community.
Very good. Is there anything else, any other issue or issues in the Grossmont Union High School District, Jay, that you would like to address that I haven't already asked you about?
The only other thing I would just say is that, again, I want to fly back to we need to do right by all our kids. The watch phrase that I stand by is all means all, and we really need to embrace that. All kids at all times and all staff as well, and full inclusion. I cannot say enough about the fact that I'm 100% on board with full inclusion at all times. And this is the standard. The standard in California is inclusion. The people that do oppose inclusion, they're actually the ones that are causing the disruption and the drama. And we want to get to a drama-free district so we can move on to supporting our kids and lifting up their academics, making sure they've got a 21st century education, that the critical thinking is there, the science knowledge is there, they're ready for college. They're ready for career tech and they're ready for life. They've got that emotional growth so that they can go into young adulthood and become productive, strong members of our society. So let's agree that all means all, everyone is included. And then let's get into really working on building up our education for our kids to be the strongest it possibly can and make sure our staff is world-class and they want to be there and they're retained and they feel respected and included in this discussion.
Great.
And thank you. Again, thank you.
Last question, and that is, can you tell us who a few of your key endorsements are, Jay, and also where people can get more information about your candidacy or get involved in your campaign if they choose to?
Absolutely. Thank you. So my website's pretty easy. It's www.jaysteiger.com.
And that's Steiger.
Correct. Jaysteiger.com. Okay. Very straightforward. You know, we'd love to hear from people and love your support. We've been fundraising since June, you know, getting into this early, and also just start a dialogue with people. I'd love to hear people's ideas. What do you want to see in a 21st education, whether you've got active kids or whether you're a young person or whether you're a retiree? I want to hear your voices in this. Let's talk about it. And then the other is to go over briefly, I'll just say I'm absolutely honored. I was very recently endorsed by Tony Atkins,
President Pro Tem of the State Senate.
I've also been endorsed by State Assembly Member Chris Ward, by San Diego City Council Person Raul Campillo, by local La Mesa Spring Valley trustees Costin and Tiffany. And then I've also been endorsed by Grossmont Community College trustees Justison and Schur. And then there's some others as well that I've been endorsed with for some other local offices around. And the list is on my website, and I'm continuing to add endorsements. And I thank them. I appreciate their trust in me. The only other two things I'll mention real quick that I've had forgot is I'll do serve as the current vice chair of the Valadiero Community Planning Group. I'll say this, I love working with my community planning group members because we do come from a cross-section of political stream, and we put that at the door and we work for the community, and that's what a school board should do as well. And I also recently was appointed to the board of the Grossmont Mount Helix Improvement Association, and I'm honored to work with them because they just straight up work for our community and the betterment of our area.
Great group. I'm a member of that one myself.
Yes, there you go.
You're active in the La Mesa Arts Foundation, and you also coach youth soccer.
I used to coach youth soccer, and I used to serve on the board of the Mesa Arts Foundation. I was honored to be a member of that for over 5 years. Great work. These nonprofits and these community groups, they just really put the heart into our community 100%.
Very good. Well, good luck to you. Listeners, if you just tuned in, we've been speaking with Jay Steiger. He is a candidate running for the Grossmont Union High School District Board in Trustee Area 2. Jay, thank you so much for joining us today on our East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Thank you, Miriam. Thank you, San Diego.